So, for to try to give a brief introduction to this saga, it's Gisle Sursson's saga, and it's basically, to cut it down to its brass tacks, it's a kind of like families against families and betrayal and people who walk away from bargains that they shouldn't have walked away from, and a certain triumvirate that got broken because of that. Like with all these sagas, we've been told a lot about a family and so on. And then we end with this particular, these particular couple of families. I'm actually still, to be honest, and this, I'm kind of embarrassed to say it. If someone else knows about this on the chat, please do inform us. But I'm not so sure where all of this is taking place most of the time. I can't figure out whether we are Norway or Iceland, because sometimes it's like Iceland, sometimes it's Norway. Certain things are more clear. How, are you following? Where are these people from? Where's usually those guys from? Are they from Iceland or Norway?
I thought they were in Norway. Oh, but
okay.
Well, there's definitely, I mean, there's definitely mentions.
Well, of yeah, both there's there. Mentions of all these different places. That's what's confusing to me. Anyway, so just to sort of keep this short and sweet, sorry about this. Go figure out where the fuck all this stuff takes place yourself, okay?
Anyway, I think actually I changed my mind. I think Iceland now.
I mean, it is probably Iceland, but they're also in Norway some of the time.
Yeah, I think either which way. I feel like it's Iceland, but we had a flashback to Norway.
Yeah.
Or if you want to know where they are, sign up to Patreon / Nordic Mythology Podcast, and you can get all the, you can listen to the older episodes and tell us where they are, I guess.
Yeah, please come back and tell us where the fuck we are. I'd love to know where we are. It's unsettling not to know where one is.
Yeah.
anyways, okay. Let's continue. So what has happened is that Gisle and this guy Vestein and someone else, but that's the one that they're now having a fight with. Basically, three people. We'll find out who that third one is. Three people were about to make a pact, and then one said, "I will not have a pact with Vestein." And Gisle had to say, "Well, Vestein is like a brother to me. And if you can't have a pact with Vestein, then you can't have a pact with me." And then obviously bad blood was sown between those three.
Mm-hmm. I remember because they'd been through like a whole rigmarole to get to making the pact. And then at the last second, he was like, I think they'd even cut their hands and everything. And we're going to make this pact. And then right before he was just like,
I'm not doing
it. Sorry, changed my mind.
Yeah. Which was a dick move as well. And definitely also something that, is going to sow some kind of bullshit down the line. There's also some earlier stuff, which I can't really get into because I can't remember too well, but there was something about some king that they met and some weird intrigue there, which was what led to them trying to do that pact. Because they needed to be strong in the face of something with the king, blah blah blah. But I suppose we'll find out now as we go along.
I think that's the case with so many of these sagas, because you do the reading, but you're reading like the saga as it is, not a abridged, condensed version, which I think most people probably hear this any story as like a shortened one that's been neatened up and cleaned, and it's just concise. Whereas we're just getting right in there with all the boring names, and he knew this person back then, lived here once upon a time. But it's as kind of raw as it is, I guess.
Just to mention here, the dear David Walorski is saying that apparently, according to the internet, the part with Vestein takes place in the West Fjords of Iceland. So that is the part that we're coming to now, because Vestein had to go to England to settle some affairs there. Let's close that. Sorry. And he had to go to England and settle some affairs there. And then Gisli said to him, well, you can go there, but if you, when you come back to Iceland, if you do manage to come back and you don't get yourself killed in whatever affairs it is that he's going to go settle, he has to come back to Iceland and stay there. And then they both stay there and sort of protect themselves or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's where we are right now. So I shall continue on. Okay. Here we go. Thorgrim and Thorkel ready their ship in another place and return to Iceland to Haukadalsáros in Dýrafjörð on the same day as Gisli had already sailed in on the merchant ship. He went to, Gisli went to Iceland on a merchant ship with 11 men or something like that. Anyways, they soon meet, and a joyful meeting it is. And then they go to their homes. Thorgrim and Thorkel had prospered on their voyage as well. Thorkel was a vain man and did not work on the farm, but Gisli worked night and day. So it happened on a day of good weather that Gisli sent all the men out haymaking, except Thorkel. He was the only man left at home at the farm. And he was lying down in the hall after his morning meal. The hall was 150 feet long and 60 feet wide. On its south side, on its southwest side, stood the bower of Auge and Asgard, and they were sitting there and sewing. Dunya, here translated as the bower, was probably a separate building from the hall, used as a workroom for the women. Anyways, it's a little bonus info.
Yeah. A little bit of, we should have a little jingle for like Jonas's quick, like, a little tidbit. Jonas's tidbit.
Just Jonas's
like
little... tidbits.
Yeah,
Jonas's,
I mean,
Jonas's bits of tits. Tits bits.
That, no, that's on the Only Dance material.
Oh, yeah.
That's when we venture, when we give up on this and we're like, just on OnlyFans.
This is Jonas's tidbits and Jonas's bit of tit.
I know. You know what? I keep wearing sleeveless on the show and I swear my nipples out like 50% of the time. And I don't, the episode I did last week, like my nipple was out for like half an hour. It was with Tim Nankar as well. And Alyssa in the chat was like, Dan, you know your nipples out, and I was like, well, no, I didn't, but let me just cover that back up.
That is fucking funny.
But
all right. But where are we? There we are. Okay. When Thorkel wakes up, he goes toward the bower, because he heard voices coming from there, and he lies down on the nearest side. Now Asgard speaks. Do something for me, Elf. Cut out a shirt for me, for my husband, Thorkel. I could not do it better than you, says Elf. Sorry. And you would not ask me if you had to make a shirt for my brother, Vestine. That is another story, says Asgard. And I shall feel like that for a while. It is something I've known about for a long time, says Am. Let us not talk about it anymore. Nothing seems wrong to me, says Asgard. If I think well of Vesta, I've been told that you and Thorgrim often met before you were married to Gisli. No blame came of that, says Am. Because I have had nothing to do with a man since I married Gisli, from which there might come blame. And now we will stop this talk. But Thorkel hears everything they said, and he speaks up now that they have left off. Hear a great marvel, hear of manslaughter, hear a great matter. Hear of a man's death. of one man or more. And he goes in, and then Aud speaks. Trouble often comes from woman's tongue, and perhaps the trouble from ours will be the worst kind. We must decide what to do. I have a plan for myself, says Asgard. It will work well enough, but I don't know the best thing for you. What is your plan? Asked Aud. Put my arms around Torvald's neck when we come to bed, and he will forgive me for this. And then tell him it is all a lie. That will not be enough to count on by itself, said Aud. What will you do? Asked Asgard. Tell my husband Gisli everything that I can't otherwise talk about or decide. In the evening, Gisli comes in from work. Usually Thorkel would thank his brother for what he has done, but now he is glum and said not a word. Gisli asks him whether he is feeling all right.
Oh, sorry. What the fuck? I was saying that in that because it didn't... Oh, that's irritating.
Oh, did it not
the little thing? The little thing didn't stop, so it looked like it was just the Asgard who was talking constantly. Anyway, I will just take it from there.
In the evening, Gisli comes in from work. Usually Thorkel would thank his brother for what he has done, but now he is glum and said not a word. Gisli asks him whether he is feeling all right. I am not ill, says Thorkel, but this is worse than illness.
Have I done anything, says Gisli, that has offended you?
Not in any way, says Thorkel. You will know all about it, though perhaps not till later.
I mean, how ominous is that?
That's like a guy, just like, this is like a cliffhanger. Like, why would you do that to a mate, you know?
Yeah.
Just at like, first he's, keep him hanging.
At first he's like, no, absolutely not. You've done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
But you'll find out about it later.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah, that's fucking... That's actually kind of like... I mean, if a mate did that to you, like, just, no. You'll know about it later, though.
Yeah, I'd be like,
what, know about what later? What the fuck are you saying? Like, you're not going to be hanging like this. The fuck?
I mean, you just said no, let alone the end, like, oh, no, you'll find later. It's like, come on.
But because Gisli is such a fucking, like, he doesn't give a fuck about anything, they just, like, they each go about their affairs, and there was no more talk between them. That's the next line. They're just like these, all right. Let's see what happens later, motherfucker. What the fuck are you going to do?
It is. It's almost like it is quite threatening. And then it's just like, let's just get on with the chores.
Yeah. I'll be waiting for you to come jumping at me with an axe or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways, Thorkel eats little food that evening, and he's the first man to go to bed. And when he had settled down, Asgard comes and lifts the blanket and makes to lie beside him. Then Thorkel broke his silence. I do not mean to have you lie here tonight, nor for many nights. Asgard speaks.
Why have you changed so suddenly? What is the matter here? She asks.
Thorkel says, we both know what the reason is, though it was kept from me for a long while, and your reputation will be no better if I speak plainer.
She replies, you may think what you like about it, but I will not quarrel long over the bed with you. And you have two things to choose from. One is that you take me in and behave as though nothing's happened. Otherwise, I shall call witnesses at once and declare my divorce from you. And I will have my father claim back my price and my dowry. And if this is your choice, you will never have my bed company again. Thorkel was quiet then, and after a while he said,
I feel like that's every male ever. It's just like,
yeah,
just like, well, we're gonna divorce and you're never gonna be in my bed again.
Yeah.
And then you just quickly like, you know what? Doesn't really matter. It was nothing.
Well, we'll see what he says. He does, but whatever it is, he does pause. He's like, shit. I don't know what he's going to do. Let's see. He says like this. I advise you to do whichever you like, but I will not keep you out of bed all night. Okay. She immediately showed what she most wanted and got straight into bed.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
They had not been side by side for long before they settled the matter between them as though nothing had happened. You're so right, man. That is so... Man, okay. That's sharp, bro. That's sharp as fuck.
Yeah, we know
he's
how
this He's just like, I'm not going to fuck you anymore. And he's like, fuck. This didn't... Yeah. This backfired, like...
We know how they settled it.
Yeah.
They settled it like adults.
They had not been side by side for long. I mean, yeah, like they were just lying side by side. It's such a subtle way of saying they hadn't been like fiercely and passionately fucking before they settled matter between them as though nothing had happened. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we've all been there. We've all been amidst an argument and a fight, and then sex is the thing that kind of heals it the right thing. But yeah, it is. You know, we've spoken about it before in our episodes on sex, where, you know, it's quite a violent act at times.
Yeah.
You know? And it kind of, you are getting that frustration out.
Yeah, it's something that I'm slowly sort of opening up to also in my later days, sort of like allowing myself to explore my masculinity to some degree, you know, without being too graphic about it, you know. And it, because I don't think I was always really comfortable with it, like... It can also be quite a frightening thing, especially because you are a man and you are sort of like, you know, stronger than your counterpart.
Mm-hmm.
And can seriously damage, you know. So, yeah. Well, okay. We went there. Shall we get back to...
No, as long as it's all consensual and... You look after each other, then.
No, dude, like, yeah, of course.
It gets two thumbs up from me, Ernest.
No, I'm a little pipsqueak when it comes to those kind of things. That's really what I was trying to say, actually, what I was trying to get at. Anyways.
Quick.
Let's, shall we continue?
Quick, yeah, back to the story.
Let sleeping dogs lie. This is awesome. Okay. And anyways, Aud went into bed with Gisli, and she tells him the talk she has had with Asgeir and asks him not to be angry with her and asks him to do something about it. If he could see anything good to be done. I can see nothing to be done about it, he said. That will help, and yet I cannot blame you, for fate's words will be spoken by someone. And what is to follow will follow. I love Yusli. He's such a badass. He talks like this all the time, you know, like, I can see nothing good to be done about it. That will help, and yet I cannot blame you, for fate's word will be spoken by someone. He's just like completely like, you know, fate's words will be spoken by someone, so I'm not going to blame you particularly. It's fate is just going to act through someone, so why should I hold a personal grudge to you? That's pretty fucking like, he's like a full on spiritual dude. Like, it's all just a part of the whole cosmos thing, whatever, you know, like he's like a full on hippie and a badass.
Yeah, he's very cool, isn't he? He's just,
yeah, he's just cool, calm and collected. Like, yeah, it's like a Clint Eastwood type thing.
Well, he's probably remembering it all deep down, and it's going to come out later.
Yeah. Everything that will happen, you know? He's like, que será, será, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
he's awesome. I really love him. Anyways, the year passes by, and moving days come round. Now Thorkel asks his brother Gisli to talk with him and said, "It has come about, brother," he says, "that I have something of a notion and a need to change the way I live. And it goes this way that I want us to divide our property, and I will set up house with Thorkel, my brother-in-law." And Gisli answers, "What belongs to brothers is best seen together. It would certainly please them to leave things as they are and not split anything up. We cannot go on this way any longer," says Thorkel. "Us holding together because a great wrong comes out of it, since you always have the work and trouble of seeing to the farm, and I never lifted a hand to anything useful. I do not find any fault with that," says Gisli, "as long as I have nothing to say about it. We have been through both sorts of times, when things were well between us and when things were bad. It does not matter what is said about it. The property must certainly be divided. And because I am the one to ask for the division." Ah, fuck. Again, it doesn't say that it's someone else saying something. Anyways, I will talk in Thorkel's voice now. "It does not matter what is said about it. The property must certainly be divided, and because I am the one to ask for the division, you shall have the homestead and land, and I shall have the cash."
What's that face?
It's just because, again, it doesn't show who's talking, so it's difficult for me to.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
It's all right.
I need to read it in order to understand what the fuck. There's something else.
It's in real time. It's
okay. Yeah. Okay. Hang on.
And I mean, these stories are confusing at the best of time.
Yeah, it's Gisli saying this. Yeah. "If there's nothing else for it but to separate, then you do one or the other. For I do not mind which I do, either divide or choose." It was settled that Gisli did the dividing, and Thorkel chose the cash. Gisli had the land. They also divided the dependents, who were two children, the boy was called Jermund, and the girl Gudrid. And she stayed with Gisli, and Jermund went with Thorkel.
Isn't that common to just split the kids up?
I suppose so. I mean, they were dependents. Who are dependents? Like, whose kids are they?
Well, dependents tend to be your children. So it will be.
Thorkel gave one of his kids to Gisli.
It seems so. Yeah, it seems one person to one. And
I mean, but it was very common back then that kids were sent to different chieftains and so on to grow up there and learn stuff in different courts and so on like that. That's totally totally common.
And I guess as cruel as this sounds, they were like another pair of hands around. So if they were all living under one roof, the kids will have been helping with, you know, daily tasks. So if they're separately splitting up and going elsewhere, they're losing out on that. So maybe that's why they're.
Yeah, I'm sure they would. I'm sure they would have done something like that. But these are also, if they are Thorkel's kids, they would be quote-unquote highborn, right? These are landowners and stuff like that.
Okay.
Right? So I don't know how much they work, but suppose they would. I mean, they would probably learn life skills no matter what, right? That's probably, mm-hmm. you live in Iceland, you need to learn those things, I think, regardless, of stature. Anyways, here we go. Thorkel went to Thorgrim, his brother-in-law, and lived with him, and Gisli then had the farm. And no such loss was suffered that the farm was any the worse for it. The summer now passes in this way, and the winter nights come. And it was the custom of many men to welcome winter in those days, and hold feasts and winter night sacrifices. Gisli no longer sacrificed since his stay at Viborg in Denmark, though he still held feasts as before, and did everything with magnificence. Now he makes preparations for a great feast, when the time comes that was just spoken of, and he asks to the feast the two namesakes, Thorkel, son of Eirik, and Thorkel the Rich, and Aud's kinsmen, and the sons of Bjartmar, and many other friends and acquaintances. And on the day when the guests arrive, Aud speaks. It is true to say that one man seems missing to me, who I wish might be here. And who is that? Asked Gisli. It is my brother Vestal. I would like him to enjoy this feast here with us. And Gisli said, I think differently about it, because I would willingly give money to have him not come here now.
That's, I feel like that's such a modern phrase. You know, like, oh, I'd pay for him not to be here. Or I'd rather. That feels like such a modern thing, not something you would find in an Icelandic saga.
Yeah. It's it's pretty cool. Pretty fun. Cool. He talks awesomely. Anyways, what was this here? There was a little, let me see, there's a tidbit that I somehow missed. Oh yeah, so here when Gisli says, if there's nothing else for it but to separate, then you do one or the other, for I do not mind which I do. So either divide or choose. So the thing about that is that under Icelandic law, brothers inherited their father's property in equal shares. If there were two of them, it was customary for one to have the land and the other the movable property in order to ensure fair division. One would make the division and the other choose which share he had.
So if you're claiming the divide, then the other one gets to pick which half they won.
Yeah.
Does it say anything about the kids?
That also means that whatever you do, you would divide it fairly, right? Because you wouldn't want anyone to have a particular advantage. So you would say, like, I won't care with either which way my brother chooses or whatever, I will be happy. And that means he will be happy and I will be happy, right? That's like the best way of making sure that everyone will be happy.
Yeah, I guess, because it means that you can choose the division, then also have in mind, oh, well, I want the land, so I'm going to, because it could backfire. You know, if you're going to call the division, you have to then know that the other person gets to pick.
Yeah. You have to be happy with either outcome, really.
Yeah, you have to be ready to accept either.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
What if there's three brothers?
We'll see. And with this, their talk comes to an end. All right. Shall I continue?
Sure, yeah. I'm good if you are.
There was a man by the name of Thorgrim, who was called Thorgrim Neth, or Neb. Interesting. He could be some kind of wizard or something. if his name is Neth or Neb, because that would be, sounds like that would be related to Niflheim or Nibelheim or Nebala.
Actually, did you just say Nebala? Was that another plug?
Actually, again, yeah.
Randomly saying.
No, because if I'm right, that could be pretty cool, because why would he have such a fucking ominous name? Let's see. He lived at Nefstadir on the east side of Haukadalsa. He was full of sorcery and witchcraft. He was as much a wizard as could be.
Oh, fuck off. You read that. I know you did.
Nope. I did not. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you got it right.
I have to ask Matthias whether I am looking if this is correct. It could also be a completely different thing. It could be Nefstadir. Could just be a place name, that therefore he's not called Neth because he lives there or is from there. But I want to ask Matthias about this because that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's
pretty fucking cool.
They must. I mean, you kind of spotted it straight away, so you must. There must be maybe something there.
Could be cool. Anyways, yeah. Let's go on. Let's see. Now there's witchcraft and shit coming as well. Hey,
it's those glasses. That's why you spotted that.
It's because of the glasses only.
Yeah.
And the posh accent.
Make you 25% smarter glasses.
Indeed. okay. Thorgrim and Thorkel invited him to come to their place because they too were having a feast. Thorgrim and Neth were skillful with iron. And the story says that both Thorgrims and Thorkel go to the smithy and shut themselves in. Both Thorgrims and Thorgrims, so two Thorgrims, basically. The bits of grey flank are brought out. They had fallen to Thorgrim's lot when the brothers split up their property, and Thorgrim Neth makes a spear out of them. And the work was all done by evening. There was patterning in the blade and a short handle fitted to it, about 8 inches long. So much for them.
So what do you think, I don't know how much you know about blades or metalwork. Do you think patterning would be like a Damascus type steel? Could they, I don't even know if they could do that kind of thing.
I have no idea about such matters, unfortunately. You'd have to ask an expert on those kind of things. I know you might have someone like that on hand.
We did an episode with Paul Mortimer. Years ago,
yeah,
and the audio quality, like this is exactly what he knows about the weaponry in the Viking Age, and I can't remember what happened, but there was a reason why we couldn't release the episode. There was like an audio issue. I've never rebooked him, so I probably should do.
Shit. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Do that. Figure out about that. But apparently, do you remember about this? This irritates me because there's something that rings a bell about this gray flank, which I think was a sword. A bit like the shards of Narsil, like a broken sword of something.
Yeah, man, I think they did name a sword.
And that was broken somehow and something, maybe.
Yeah, sure, let's go with that.
Someone in the chat wants to see if they can search something about that, about a broken sword being a part of Yisli, because then I can continue. If someone wants to do that, that'd be really helpful.
Anyways. I think, I feel like I remember
something about that.
Quite,
yeah,
yeah, quite. Now you've said it. Yeah, I feel like there was something. And again, if you want to be part of the live chat, and you could also Google for Jonas when he can't remember something, or I can't remember it, can't put it all on Jonas, then, you know, you can join the live chat when you support us on Patreon / Naughty Mythology Podcast. Might as well get all the plugs in there today, Jonas, haven't we? if you're throwing them in there, then
it's really interesting. Like this, because it's the public episode, so we're doing the whole a commercial interlude shit.
Yeah, you know,
back to the podcast.
I realize that with the Patreon stuff, I always leave it till the end of the episode, and I think a lot of people probably turn off. They'll get like 3/4 of the way through, or when they hear it like winding down,
yeah,
they'll just. I do it. I just turn off on podcasts just as it starts to wind down. So then a lot of people probably miss that extra
information
at the end. So I'm going to start trying to just put it at the, I mean, even if it's at the start, I guess people can just skip forward, but at least then they know it's there and they can choose to skip forward rather than thinking that it's going through. And there we kind of fluffed long enough there for Dolthar to say, yes, there is a broken sword in Gisli Saga.
Yeah. Grosida. Yeah. Great flank. Grosida.
Look at that.
Yes. Great, great, great. Well, that's perfect. That's exactly what I want to know. Thank you very much. There is a broken sword, and which is probably where the whole Shards of Narsil comes from as well. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking cool. I didn't know that. Anyways, the story now goes that Ormond of Meddledal came to the feast at Gisli's, and he took him aside and said that Vestain had come back to Iceland. And he can be expected here. Gisli moves at once and calls his housemen, Hallvard and Harvard, and told them to go north to Unandafjord and meet Vestain, and take him my greeting, and tell him at the same time that he is to stay at home until I visit him, and he is not to come to the feast in Haukadal. And he puts into their hands a knotted kerchief? Handkerchief, maybe?
Handkerchief, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. And the half coin was in it, and the half coin was in it as a token in case he should. Oh, remember? They had that BFS thing?
Oh my God, yes.
They had that coin made? Yeah.
Which we need to have made. We need to find a...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
I think you should, after that, you should put them up on the website as and people can buy them Gisli coins.
Yeah.
BFF coins. Gisli, best time.
Okay, so if you want the full backstory, that you have to listen to last week's episode, which I'm not going to say it again. You can get it on the Patreon. But there was a coin that was split in half, and they both kept half of it, like one of those little love heart necklaces that you used to be able to get that you and your friend would keep, or like girlfriend. I think I had one with one of my first girlfriends. And we would like keep half of it, and then when you meet up, you'd put them together. So me and Jonas want to somehow have one made where we can just, every time we meet up, we can just like put our two halves together. Oh, that's, I'm sure some people's imaginations are going wild on that.
I like the idea a lot. We have to get it made. And we have to be able to sell them. It's a brilliant idea.
Okay, so if anybody listening to this, if anybody listening can, so in some way, is it a coin?
Yeah.
So yeah, if anybody can make a coin that we can split in two, but it has to be like jagged, so it's like all edgy and
like. Yeah, it has to have like our the first letter of our name in runes or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you have to have my first letter, and I have to have your first letter.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. If anybody can make that, please.
Yeah, engrave a rune into the coin, and yeah.
Yeah, just let us know. I mean, if you can make it in solid gold, that would be lovely. But we're not picky.
Not picky. You know,
steel is, it's fine. But if you can make one, please drop me a message or send me an email. Well, anything, just we'd love that. That would be a lot of fun.
Amazing, fantastic. This is fucking fun. All right, where should we go on? Yeah, so he were there, and the half coin was in it as a token in case he should not believe their story. They go then and take a boat from Hunkerdal and row to Leikiaros and come ashore and call on the farmer who lived there at Bersastavir. He was called Bersi. They give him a message from Gisli that he is to lend them two horses which he had, called Bandvetir, swiftest in the fjords. He lends them the horses, and they ride until they come to Mosfellir, and from there in towards Hest. Meanwhile, Vestine sets out from home, and it happens that he rides below the sandhill at Mosfellir, as the brothers are riding along the top, and so they pass by and miss each other. There was a man called Thorwart who lived at Holt. His housemen had fought over some work and struck each other with scythes, and both were wounded. Vestine comes by and stops the fight, and does it in such a way that the men become friends again, and each is satisfied. Then he rides out towards Byrfjord with his two Norwegian companions. But Hallvard and Harvard come into Hest, and hear that in fact Vestine has already set out. They turn and ride after him at their hardest. And when they come to Mosfellir, they see men riding in the middle of the valley, but there was a hill between them. They ride now into Bjarnadal and come to Arntel's Brekka. There both horses founder. They run from the horses then and shout. Vestine and his men hear them now. They had come as far as Jemlufal's Shade. And they wait there until they come up and give their message. And they hand over the coin which Gisli had sent for him. He takes out the other half of the coin from his money belt and turns very red as he looks at it. What?
He's embarrassed. He's like, oh, he's got to get his little half of the love coin out, like in front of everybody.
It's super gay.
Yeah, this moment of like, let's. Hopefully they're holding them above their heads as well, and it's just like this. Oh, imagine if it didn't fit as well. It was he'd actually had one with somebody else, and he sent the wrong half.
Yeah. Oh, this is fucking funny. And he turns red as he looks at it. Oh my God. Anyways, he says, Vestine says, you speak the truth, he says. And I would have turned back if you'd had met me sooner. But now the streams all run towards Sturafjord, and I shall ride there. And in any case, I want to. The Norwegians shall turn back. But you get on by boat, says Vest, and tell Gisli and my sister of my coming. And they come and tell Gisli. He answers, that is how it must be then. Vestine goes on to Jemlufal, to Luta, his kinswoman, and she has him ferried across the fjord and said to him, Vestine, she said, be wary of yourself. There is need of it. He is taken over to Thingeir. A man lived there then who was called Thorvald Spark. Spark? That's a nice name. God.
Yeah, everybody's called Thor something.
Yeah.
It's very...
Thorvald, Thorgrim, Thorkel. Yeah. Thorvald. Spark.
What do you think? What does spark mean?
Spark probably means. I mean, it could be mean kick. That's what it means in modern Scandinavian languages.
Yes, to something. That's what I was about to ask. What that?
Yeah. Could mean kick. Hang on, I'm just gonna get another beer. My mouth is a little bit dry.
I don't know if the beer will help with that, but
sure. It'll help while I'm drinking it.
Yeah, temporarily.
Yeah.
It will help. You know, I love these episodes. They're so much fun. It's good to be silly sometimes. Obviously, we've been having a lot of scholars on lately, which I absolutely love those episodes. Bob's been doing an amazing job booking academics, but sometimes I miss just the silly ones where we can have a drink and just have a laugh. It's a lot of fun. You know, it's good learning, and I wouldn't get rid of those episodes again. I think we've definitely taken the right direction going back, doing more of those, but that makes these a lot more fun when it is just, especially with Jonas, because he's a lot of fun. We get to sit down and just have a laugh.
Shall we go?
Page or
two more or something like that, or?
Yeah, we can do a couple more pages. I've got whiskey. I'm good.
Cheers, buddy.
Cheers. To the coins.
To the coins. Ah, let's see. Did I go too far down? Oh, yeah. Vestine goes on to Gemlufal, to Lupta, his kinswoman. And she has him carried by... Oh, yeah, no, sorry. He's taken to Thingale, Vestine's spark. Vestine goes to his house, and Thorwald lends him his horse. But Vestine kept his own saddle gear, and he rides off with his bridle jingling. Thorwald rides with him to Sandals, offers to stay with him all the way to Gislis. He said there was no need of it. Much has changed in Haldar, said Thorwald. Be wary of yourself. Then they part. Vestine rides now till he comes into Haldar, and there was a bright weather there, and moonlight. At Thorgrim's they were bringing in the cattle, Jermund and a woman called Randeg. She pens the cattle and he drives them into her. Drives them in to her, not mm-hmm. into her, yeah. Just murders her. It just makes them like stampede her.
Stampede.
He just turns around. And the way I was sort of saying it, almost like it was like a narrative by this guy, the guy who does all the nature things, Attenborough, right?
Oh, yeah. Can you do a David Attenborough accent?
Yermund. No, I don't. Yermund and a woman called Randvik. She pens the cattle and drives it into her.
It's not too bad.
Something like that. I've never tried that one before. She pens the cattle and he drives them into her.
Almost like a scene out of The Lion King. Is it Buffalo in The Lion King? Where
Yeah. Oh, no, don't trigger me. My God.
Oh, I know. It's... heartbreaking.
I cried when I was like watched it when I was a kid then back then. I thought it was so sad.
Oh, I would cry now, guarantee.
I'd cry already, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
I'm a softie when it comes to movies. Like they
just
get me, so easy. Just I don't know if it's something to do with maybe my personality that I feel like when I watch a film, I get so into it that I'm like, this is real.
Mm.
So like when I'm watching Transformers, I'm like, fucking, when I get out of here, my car's going to be able to do this. I just like, it becomes real. And for that hour and a half, like I absorb myself into it where it's just reality. So therefore I get super emotional with movies. I've always been the same.
Man, you're going to have a great time on mushrooms, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that's how you get into it, like, yeah, you will, you'd probably have quite a vivid experience, I would imagine.
We'll see the Nabala rave at Midcast Block.
Yeah, not a bad place to at least do a little cozy doze. But anyways, we digressed. We got plugged the Nabala rave at Midcast Block as well. Great. My God. And now, after this little word from our sponsors, Back to look, the story.
Look, everybody go on Spotify right now and listen to Nubala and hit the little subscribe like button, because there is a little like button on there. Just go and do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just put the whole, put the whole album on, listen to it. And when you finish listening to it, just leave it running. Just leave it running in the background. Who cares? But it all works out good for so just have it
just listen to it if you like it, please. Like that's all I can ask.
Well, yeah, I'm asking them just to leave it running, so
yeah, okay, fair enough. Wingman. Okay, let's go get on with this. Okay, so the cattle thing has happened. Then Vestine rides up across the field and Yermund comes over to him. Yermund spoke.
Do not come here to Sable, but go on to Gislis and be wary for yourself.
Ranveig had come out of the cattle shed and she looks at the man and thinks she knows him. And when the cattle have been brought in, they argue about the man, who he was, and so go to the house. Thorgrim and the others are sitting by the fire. Thorgrim asks if they have seen or met anybody, or what they were arguing about.
I thought I recognized Vestine coming here, said the Ranveig. And he was in a blue cape, and he had a spear in his hand, and he rode with a jingling bridle. And what do you say, Yeri? I could hardly see him, but I thought he was one of Onund's housemen from Methaldal. He was wearing Gisli's cape, and he was using Onund's saddle gear, and he had a fishing spear in his hand with a prong at the top.
One of you must be lying, said Thorgrim. You go over to Hol Ranveig and see what is going on. She went over and came to the door where the men had arrived for the drinking. Gisli was standing in the doorway, and he spoke to her and asked her to come in. She said she should be going home, but I should like to speak to the girl immediately. Gisli calls her, but nothing to any purpose came of it.
Where is Elf, your wife? She says.
Here she is, says Gisli. She goes out and asked what she wanted. She replied that it was only a small matter, but nothing came of it. Gisli told her to do one or the other, come in or go home. She went home, and somewhat foolisher than before, if that were possible, and had no news to tell. In the morning, Vestine had two bags brought to him with goods in them, which the brothers Hallvard and Harvard had carried for him. He took out a tapestry, 90 feet long, a headdress made of a piece of 30 feet long with three gold strands woven along its length, and three basins decorated with gold. Again, here we have sexy tapestries, eh?
Mm-hmm. A little throwback to Brunhild.
Yeah. It seems to be, what was that? That was in
the Volsunga saga.
Volsunga saga, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But we there's been tapestries in other sagas we've read as well. Mm-hmm. It seems to be a clear sort of like fascination with tapestries.
Yeah, I mean, to us today, it probably doesn't seem that special, but I imagine the amount of work that goes into a tapestry to hang on the wall would just be phenomenal and would show
absolutely
phenomenal wealth. So it kind of makes sense why
you have huge tapestry that even tells a story of something hanging on a wall. Yeah. It's incredible, of course. Naturally, yeah, it's awesome. Okay. He took these and offered them to his sister and Gisli and to Thorkel, his oath brother, if he would accept. Gisli goes to Sable with the two Thorkels to his brother Thorkel. So there's three Thorkels? What the fuck? I have no... Okay. Anyways.
It's so frustrating how they do that. They just put... everybody
took his offer them to his sister and to Torkil, his oath brother, if he would accept. Then Gisli goes to Sable with the two Thorkels to his brother Thorkel. I mean, is this a fucking joke or what? Like,
it's like they just, oh, they just can't remember the name, so they just put,
these are the two Thorkels, and this is my brother Thorkel.
It's, and, it's so fucking, there's a part in Volsunga Saga where, I think where, because there's a, is it like nine brothers and sisters where they tie them all to the log or tie them all to the ground and the wolf comes and eats them. And it's like they forget. It's, I think for like, for the most part, it's like the first time some of them have appeared and they all have the same fucking name changed by one letter.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, oh, come on, be a little bit more creative than just the same thing.
Yeah.
I think they're all called like Sigurd, Sigmund.
This was a, but this one is like frustrating me now because I have no idea who the Thorkels are now. And it's really difficult remember whose voice sounds in what way. Gisli has been pretty consistent, but yeah. And Vestein as well. Vestein, I know how he sounds as well. But I think the next time when we start, or maybe I can even do that for the next time we do story time, I'm going to see if I can find out who all the characters are and just write accent for each of them so that I know. Yeah. Anyways, let's go back to this. Do a little bit more.
We're still learning with this. We're still...
It's a learning process. Yeah, exactly.
We're still polishing it up. By the time we get to the end product, we'll be
great. Yeah.
We know there's something there. We have a laugh. And I usually when we're having a laugh, other people are as well.
That is, yeah, usually the case. I hope.
whether they're laughing at us or with us, it's all good fun.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. That all serves the same purpose. Okay. Mm-hmm,
yeah. I was going to say carry on until there's a good place to stop, and then we'll wrap up.
Great. Gisli says that Vestein has come, and he has given them gifts to share, and he shows them to him and asks him to do whatever he chooses. Thorkel answers, "It would be more fitting if you were to take all, and I would not accept the gifts and return for them for me is not very likely." And then there's a whole, in the best Lord of the Rings style, there's a nice little map of all the places here. Should I take a picture and upload to the chat? Or?
Yeah. Send a picture and then we will put it on Instagram when we post about it. Post the episode. Yeah, we'll pop it on there and people can have a look at the map.
Well, I think this is a good place to stop then, because I think now it's just showing a lot of maps. And then now a strange thing happens at home. Gisli sleeps badly two nights together. And they ask him what he's dreamed. He will not tell his dreams. Then comes the third night and they go to bed. Then they have been asleep so hard a squall of wind hits the house that it takes all the hatch from one side. With this, so much water fell from the sky that it was something unheard of, and the buildings let in rain, as might be expected, when the hatch shifted. Gisli sprang up quickly and calls his men to save the hay. Gisli had a thrall whose name was Thorp, and he was nicknamed the Coward.
Of course it was.
Yeah, of course it was, yeah.
What else are you going to call him?
I mean, this is Thorkel and Thorkel, and over there is a man is 90% sure is Thorkel, and over there is Thord. I got you there. You thought it was Thorkel. No, he's Thord. The other guy next to him is Thorkel. That is Thord. No, wait. Maybe it's the other way around. I can't remember. I don't know.
it's a Monty Python sketch.
It totally is, man. Like,
The fuck is that there? I'd love to know if they I would love to know if they did it on purpose.
It's a fuck. The thralls stayed in the house, but Gisli and nearly all the other men went to see the haystacks. See to the haystacks. Vestein offered to go with him, but Gisli would not have it. And now when the roof started leaking worse, the sister and the brother turned their beds lengthwise down the room. Everyone else had left the room except only these two. Then someone comes in a little before dawn, quietly, and goes over to where Vestein is lying. He had been woken up then. The first thing he knows is that a spear is thrust into his breast and right through him.
Oh, okay. It's just heated up a little bit.
The first thing he knows is that a spear is thrust into his breast. Wow. When Vestein took the blow, then he spoke this. A heart thrust. Heart thrust, he said. And then the man went out. Vestein tried to stand up, but he fell beside the bed, dead. Oath wakes up now and calls to Thor the coward and tells her to take the weapon from the wound. It was said then that whoever pulled the weapon from a wound would be bound to take revenge. And it was called secret manslaughter and not murder when the weapon was left in a death wound.
Oh, wow. So is that, so he's been stabbed with a spear, and then he's got up with the spear still kind of hanging out of him, which is a ridiculously long weapon to leave just hanging in there.
Yeah.
And then whoever pulls it out has to seek revenge.
Yeah.
Wow. It's manslaughter when, in that case, when there's a weapon left in.
Yeah.
Then that's manslaughter rather than murder?
Yeah.
How unusual.
Completely weird. Anyways, Thor was so fearful of corpses that he did not dare to go near one. Gisli came in then and saw what had happened. And he told Thor to be still, took the spear from the wound himself and threw it all bloody into a chest. And let nobody see. Then he sat on the edge of the bed. He had Vestine's body got ready for burial, as they used to do it in those times. Vestine's death brought great grief to both Gisli and to other men. Gisli spoke to Gudrid, his foster daughter. You shall go to Sable and see what they are doing there. I am sending you on this errand because I have the greatest faith in you in this and as in other things. And be sure you can tell me what they are doing there. Let's stop here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ooh, start to get a little bit of exciting.
It's
going to
get crazy now. Yeah.
Yeah, now it's
heating up. Murdered. Now you're going to get fucking... It's gonna get dicey.
And if you want to,
he's just gonna go crazy. Like he's just gonna murder people like crazy. Now it's gonna be insane.
And if you want to hear that next installment, you know what to do. Patreon.com/NordicMythology Podcast.
Exactly.
No, you know, Jonas. These are a lot of fun. I was saying when you went to get the second beer, how you know we have a lot of scholars on and educational based episodes, but it's so much fun just to do these, particularly with you, because we get on, we have these this kind of back and forth. I really enjoy doing these, and it's nice just to kind of be silly and just have a laugh. Yeah,
just have a little bit of a laugh. I enjoy it as well, man. It's fucking
have
fun.
A drink and enjoy it, and hopefully other people are enjoying it as well.
Yeah, this one was fun. This one was good.
Yeah. So yeah, like I say, if you do enjoy it, I know we joked about it through the whole episode. Go and listen to Nabala, but also if you enjoy the storytime episodes,
support Nordic Mythology Podcast on Patreon.
That's
on
it.
Patreon/ Nordic Mythology Podcast. What?
You got it. Yeah. You got it. The basic level is £3 a month. So that's just the same as 10p a day. It helps us keep going. You know, it helps pay for all the people behind the scenes. There's much more to this podcast than just me. There's a lot of people that help it keep going. And yeah, you know, these episodes are a lot of fun. You get the whole back catalogue of these. We've been through a couple of different sagas. You also get a Q&A every week with the guests we have on, where you can submit your questions ahead of time, or you can join the episode. Yeah, and you can join it live. You get access to our Discord server. There's a bunch of different features, so if you can go and check that out, we appreciate it. And also, just leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review wherever you get your podcasts. Jonas, anything you want to plug, shout out?
I think we've plugged enough today, mate.
We definitely have.
You know, Nibala on Spotify and on Instagram as well. If you want to hear some weird tribal Nordic music.
Yeah, just leave it playing in the background sometimes. Just put it on repeat, and you just, if you go out, maybe the dog will enjoy it. Just leave it playing for the dog. Who cares? Get those numbers up.
All right, man.
Jonas, thank you very much. We'll see you again soon, where we will
carry
on with the story, and we'll see where we end up.
See you, and lovely to see so many guys tuning in on the chat as well. It's beautiful. Yeah,
thank you very much. Take care, guys. See you later. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you.